Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox and Yankees kicking off their 2018 series tonight at Fenway Park. Chris Sale also getting his Fenway Park debut tonight as well for this season. Sale, talking about the manager, says Cora's been keeping things real loose in that clubhouse.
He's got a good way of keeping it fun, keeping it loose, involving everybody, you know, getting guys together and doing fun things, whether you know, people going to playing golf or going out to dinner or whatever it was. He had a good way of keeping it loose, and that's, you know, for us, that's important.
Luis Severino on the hill for the Yankees. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Red Sox will be without Xander Bogaerts. He's out for between 10 and 14 days with a small crack in a bone in his foot. Good news is no surgery is required. Bruins back at practice today. They were without Riley Nash and Nolichari, neither one of them present. Rick Nash was present, back on the second line with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk. Brian Gionta centering the third line with Danton Heinen and David Backes. Fourth line, Corrali, Schaller, and Wingles. That means Ryan Donato was not on any of the lines, but was on the ice as the spare forward. Head coach Bruce Cassidy said Donato could be a healthy scratch in Game 1. However, nothing is set in stone yet. Game 1 this Thursday with the Toronto Maple Leafs as we get going here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Celtics and Wizards tonight in Washington, D.C. According to head coach Brad Stevens, the regulars will be in. Starters are going to get a, quote, good amount of minutes. Gershon Yabusele will not be one of those regulars. He's out tonight and tomorrow with a knee injury. He is expected, however, to be back for Game 1. Marcus Smart scheduled to make his return on April 27th. That'd be 2 weeks from Friday. Tip-off tonight at 8 o'clock from Capital One Arena. Grandy and Max have the pregame for you at 7:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. And some news today out of the NFL. Buffalo Bill guard and all-around good guy Richie Incognito calling it a career. Incognito, 34 years old, told the Buffalo News his liver and kidneys are shutting down and that the stress is, quote, killing him. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's Home for Sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I really have no idea who Mandy Moore is. This is weird. It's kind of bugging me. You on the air saying that? Yeah, I'm on the air saying
that.
Hey! You watch This Is Us, Hardy?
I don't even know what This Is Us is.
I don't even know either.
It's an old movie that she was in, too, like a long time ago.
A Walk to Remember was what that was called.
Yes,
It wasn't very good, but she was in it, yeah.
So she was married.
She was an international pop sensation, Hardy.
Yeah, I know that.
What song?
She's like a teeny bopper.
Is this Mandy Moore that we're listening to? This sounds like Sting.
No.
This sounds like The Police.
I went through her entire music thing. I didn't recognize one song.
I mean, I'm looking at pictures of her right now. I swear to you, I've never seen this woman before in my life.
I've seen it because I have two girls. And, like, they've watched the Mandy Moore stuff. Isn't she connected to Disney or something? Or was? It's like one of those Selena Gomez things. I don't know.
Oh, like a Mouseketeer or
whatever?
Yeah,
not even that. But, like, Jennifer, what's her name? Was, like, on 13, 30 going on 13.
Jennifer Love. Affleck.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. No, not Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Beale.
No. Ben Affleck's Jennifer.
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner.
Thank you. Yeah.
Like, it was around, she was popular around when that came out.
Yeah. I guess Mandy Moore was married to Ryan Adams. I know who Ryan Adams is.
Ryan Adams, he's badass.
No, not Brian Adams, Ryan Adams.
No, Ryan Adams, the actor. Yes.
No, not that Ryan Adams? Who was she married to?
Ryan Adams is an actor.
I thought Kristen just told me that she was married to Ryan Adams, I would assume the singer.
I know Brian Adams, Summer 69.
That's all right. Can we stop?
It was Ryan Adams, the singer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who's Ryan Adams, the singer?
You don't know him. He sings decent music. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't like it. All right.
Well, just talk down to me then.
That's exactly what I just did. I'm glad you picked up on that.
You go to hell.
You want to talk about Floyd Mayweather's bodyguard getting shot?
When did this happen? Like, you'd be shocked about this? Pretty much shocked he didn't get
Did
shot.
Did he take a bullet for Mayweather? Was it intended for him?
Early Monday, so we're just now finding out about it, as a group of three cars that included the boxing great was traveling to a hotel in Atlanta. So what is early Monday? What, were they out early working out? Do you think this was like 7 o'clock in the morning? What do you think early Monday means, Zoe?
It means they were up all night.
That's right. Yeah. Here we go. Investigators said they're looking to confirm that the shooter was, in fact, targeting the vehicle. Mayweather was with the vehicles, but the car he was in was not shot at. The bodyguard, Gregory La Rosa, was treated at an Atlanta hospital for a leg wound and release. Police spokespeople said the cars were traveling from a club to a hotel around 2 a.m. Monday. And
Where was this?
In Atlanta. Another vehicle pulled alongside and opened fire. The cars drove off, were followed by the shooter's vehicle. A driver took La Rosa to the hospital after the shooter's car stopped following the other cars.
Sounds like what happened to Tupac.
Cat popped in him. This takes me back to my brief stint with the New York Jets. I get invited to a hockey game in Long Island, and I end up there, and I'm with like Mo Lewis, who separated Bledsoe's lungs from his body. Christian Peter, who had all those issues at Nebraska.
Sure.
And a guy by the name of Jason Williams that played basketball that I never knew who he was. And
Jason Williams, the center from the Nets?
The one who shot the Kristoff limo driver.
Yes.
Guy. Wow. And I called my agent to tell him, he's like, and I talked to my agent, and I said, hey, and this is prior to all that happening. I told my agent, he's like, how's it going? I said, oh, it's great. And Mo's great. I'm with him, the other two guys that I mentioned.
And he goes, Chris Peter, what are you
an effing saying? Get out. Go back to your hotel.
You show me your crowd, I will show you your future.
So I had, thank God I didn't become like good friends and hang in that circle.
Yeah.
And I got cut from there pretty good, but those guys like to have a good time.
Sure.
It's good hockey game.
This doesn't sound like a good time.
I don't remember what hockey arena we were at. It's a good time. This does not sound like a good time. This sounds like a hit.
It sounds like a hit on somebody, but if you're going to try and shoot Floyd Mayweather, don't you at least know what car he's in?
Mm. Well, what are the odds that over all of the incidents or appearances that Floyd Mayweather has been to or done, that maybe one of his handlers rubbed somebody the wrong way?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. It's kind of a stretch there, Zoe.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's not hanging out in the greatest of places. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure
he's crying out for help.
I don't think Floyd's crying out for help. I think Floyd likes attention. And I think he likes the entourage he travels with.
Do people ever get hurt in Atlanta? I don't know. Does Ray Lewis know anything about that? Is that something that could ever...
Not anymore.
Show me the limo you ride, man. And I'll show you where to put the suit. I don't know, man. That's...
Could happen anywhere. At any time.
This could happen too. All this is this...
If you behave as Floyd Mayweather has behaved... I mean, at some point, you're just inviting this type of thing.
Some of the stuff
life,
that he says.
Yeah.
I'm not only saying the stuff he says. I'm just saying, man, and been appearances where guys have security. And security does, they think they can do anything. They'll knock you out of the way. They'll push you down. They'll back you up to make sure that their client can move through. And they probably pushed the wrong guy at the wrong time.
Or maybe somebody was thinking,
or somebody
hey,
was like, let's get Floyd.
I can shoot up the entire car, get him to stop, and I can get $100,000 out of the car because Floyd Mayweather is known for going on social media and posting and showing how much money he's taken out with
Look
him
what's
to
in
go
his bag.
To go out, yeah, to go out to a club on a certain night while wearing a $500,000 watch.
Mayweather's a tiny guy, too.
Yeah. Someone said one of those McGregor things where he's like, man, I got all this cash in his bag.
Yeah.
And McGregor looked in, he could probably got like $30,000 in there. Nothing in there. I'll show you money.
Someone said Mayweather's the size of Jiminy Cricket. It's kind of true.
Oh, you say he's not.
You only need one security guard for him, you know?
Same thing with McGregor. You see McGregor pick up that thing and hit that bus last week, and then the bodyguards are trying to push him back. They're like 6'5", and he looks like a little kid.
Which I was convinced was like part of a stunt until the part where he got arrested.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel so much like
misdemeanors,
a stunt.
Though. Misdemeanors.
So you think it's all the put on?
Nothing happened. Misdemeanors. So what? If it was a real assault, if he really was trying, you know, if that wasn't, because what'd they get him for? It wasn't even anything that serious, I don't think.
So disrupting bus service. It was an odd charge.
That's the bus was late to the, to the station.
So you're saying that's like staged or real versus fake?
Seemed a little fake to me.
Well, it's going to make you want to watch his next fight, right?
Yeah.
At the very least, I don't think he was really trying to hurt or inflict any real damage. Because if he was, what are you doing throwing stuff at a bus? What are you going to accomplish? Unless he's just like coked out of his mind and he's lost all grip on reality. But Conor McGregor doesn't impress me as being that type. And neither does Floyd Mayweather. You know, for as deplorable and despicable as I find them both to be at times.
Did you say Conor McGregor doesn't strike you as someone who's out of his mind? He strikes me exactly as someone who's out of his mind.
He seems like
a lunatic.
No, out of their mind is like Randy Quaid. That guy's out of his mind.
Okay.
The dude you were just talking about, Christian Arkham, was telling me off the air, the guy who was in Silicon Valley. What's the actor's name?
Oh, T.J. Miller, who just got arrested in Connecticut for phoning in a bomb threat on an Amtrak train.
That guy's out of his mind.
He's out of his mind, yeah.
Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor are... Yeah, crazy like a fox out of their minds.
Okay.
All right? Maybe
he attacked a bus.
And I don't think Floyd Mayweather is some amazing intellect, nor do I think that about Conor McGregor, but I think there's a method to most of their madness.
Speaking of madness.
Segue.
Fake versus real.
Uh-huh.
You guys ready to get weird next?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a man coming in studio next that took two days off. Personal days.
Yes.
Not personal days, but vacation days. Friday to Monday to attend WrestleMania in New Orleans with a couple of our other coworkers. The one and only James Stewart, the producer of the afternoon show, has some stories from New Orleans. And they do involve one Sarge Mike Riley. And it's worth telling on air.
Good.
Hardy's
I'm pumped up already.
Hardy's going to be disturbed by it. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I'm anxious to hear what happened. We will. We'll hear it next.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, into a Boston crowd.
See, whenever I hear this, all I can hear is "My Time Is Meow" from the 98 Mile.
My time is meow.
So it says Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Frabito. Jay Stu, welcome back, buddy.
Hi, Hardy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Jay Stu was in.
Hi, buddy.
In New Orleans.
What's going on, guys?
WrestleMania. What was the main event on Sunday? What was it?
The last match, the main event was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, where Brock Lesnar won and bloodied Roman pretty good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was ketchup.
Okay. But no.
It looked like ketchup.
No,
I think so. All right, so you had a full weekend. Now, Zoe was really excited to talk to you. I know a little bit about the weekend, but, set it up for us. This was like what? Like a 3-4 day trip with the whole Kowloon crew, right?
So Andy Wong, Mike Riley went down Thursday. Joe Murray and I went down on Friday.
You guys fly together? You and Joe Murray?
No, we were on different flights.
It's amazing to me that you four, you five, or you six always do this every year. But yet none of you were ever on the same flight.
Well, Andy and Riley get together on the same flight.
Of course. Well, Andy's paying for it all.
Well, he's got the black gold card, so he does that. So we get down there. We went to a WWE Access event on Friday night.
What time was this?
This would have been 6:30 New Orleans time?
So you arrive in the city of New Orleans.
Go from the airport to the hotel.
After
meet up
working
with them.
A hellbent on sports show for 4 hours for the last.
Oh, I didn't work Friday.
I know that. But you arrive on the ground in New Orleans and you go straight to a wrestling event instead of going to Bourbon Street.
We went there later on. We wanted the full nighttime atmosphere, the full chaos of going there. We wanted to get our wrestling stuff in.
Chaos is like a big wrestling term.
Go there. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Wrestling fans on Bourbon Street. So chaos. Insane.
When you're going with Andy
Drunks.
Wong.
Yes.
I mean, does he like take care of like a lot of the, you know, getting of the tickets and the arranging and the details of this stuff?
No, actually, I'm the structure guy of the group.
Wow.
I organize what events we go to, coordinate tickets, all that stuff.
Now, you got a really good history with the Ring of Honor guys and us knowing Mike Bennett, the real Michael Bennett, Rhea Kanellis, and all that. You've been doing this for years, Jimmy, and you told me in the other room that while you're walking around during your extravaganza, there are a lot of wrestling fans from the Boston area that come up to you and say, what?
There were so many fun people who catcalled me. Jay Stu, how's it going? Love you on Felger and Mass. All that stuff.
Yep.
So I'd go up to them, introduce themselves, get their names, usually get it wrong. And then here comes Sarge over the top rope. Hey, I'm Sarge. Nice to meet you. Nobody catcalled you, Sarge. Nobody catcalled you. Nobody.
He's just being friendly.
He doesn't need to be friendly.
This is what he does. He's just taking the spotlight.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm done here. So I'll move along and...
Pictures. How many times was his phone drained? Or what, over under number of pictures he took from Thursday to Monday?
30.
Oh, come on. 30? I'd palm that over.
30. I'd say 30.
30 a day or 30?
30 pictures? Or 30 posted? Yeah.
30 a day, dude.
Hey, you want to get a picture with Sarge? I'll give you a salute.
Oh, what's it?
That happened at Logan Airport with the TSA. Did you see that? TSA guy knew Sarge.
Well,
and Andy, yeah,
so
the story that
I was told was Sarge begged the TSA guy to take a picture with him.
Really?
That's the story I heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the story I heard.
Now,
before they even got there,
did you guys do everything together? Like, okay, so you get in Friday, Saturday morning, do you make plans for like a breakfast or a brunch? And
did
somebody miss breakfast that day?
Riley didn't make his wake up call on Saturday, so I went ahead of everybody else.
Didn't make the... What was the wake-up call? What were you guys
supposed
to do?
We were supposed to go to WrestleCon, and...
Okay, and what is...
We were scheduled to take the Uber at 8:30 to be there for 9 o'clock is when they opened the door.
Hold on.
So you
We
were
you
supposed
flew...
to have breakfast at 7:30. Nobody answered their phone, and so I waited in the lobby till about 8, and then I went and I got breakfast. I went upstairs. I said, I'll see you guys over there.
You stayed at the Drury, which...
Yes. Fabulous.
How was the
hotel.
Breakfast? Good?
Spectacular.
That was included in the stay?
Yep.
Nice. So you, for a flight, hit the ground running. You go to a wrestling event. You're out on Bourbon Street till the wee hours of the morning.
Pat O'Brien's Hurricane.
Chaos to what you term it. They had a fire pit cranking?
Total chaos.
Did you go to Mother's?
They did. I did not get there.
Okay. And you were trying to get up 7:30 the next day to get...
Well, see, Zoe, here's the thing is I don't sleep on the road. So historically, in Dallas and Orlando, I just don't sleep.
You don't sleep at all?
No, not at all. Like, we got back
Why do you even have
Friday night. Nap? Cat nap, obviously.
Cat nap.
See what I did there? So Friday, we got back at like 2 in the morning, local time. I took a 2-hour nap and was ready to go the next day.
We have a phone call. Joining us.
Nice.
It's unreal.
I think it's Mike from Needham.
Hello? What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Sarge.
Hey, Sarge.
Sarge.
So I can
Sarge,
leave now because this is what happened in New Orleans. Sarge would come in, over the top rope, introduce himself to people, and then I'd move on. So that's what I'm going
to
do now.
Giving you a chance.
Hardy, Zoe, Arcan, good to see you.
See you, Jimmy.
Peace and love.
One more question, Jimmy. You're not going anywhere. What do you want, Sarge?
Get that phony Stewart out of there.
What's the problem with what he said?
First of all, the TSA guy recognized my voice, and he recognized the Wong father. So get your facts straight there, Jay Stewart.
That's not the story I heard.
All right.
Well, you heard false stories, much like your reporting.
Okay. He recognized Andy Wong, the TSA guy did?
Of course he did. It was a Wong father.
Gotcha.
Okay. And what else do you take issue with so far of Jay Stewart's telling
all of
the
it.
Events?
No, he's accurate with the breakfast part. Myself and the Wong father were out at the casino late night on Friday. And
what was the hand? Were you rolling a hot dice?
And Joe Murray, yeah. Oh, we were rocking him. We were playing blackjack, and Harris did not like us, no.
Why didn't they like you?
Dollar tables?
And we missed Jay Stu's wake-up call, but didn't meet him down at the hotel there.
Wait a second. Why didn't Harris like you?
What?
You said Harris didn't like... How much did you win?
A couple $100. Did pretty well.
Yeah, you know, you probably got on their radar. You probably have been blacklisted. You won't be allowed back. You take a couple $100 from a
short
casino.
You had on all week.
A couple $100 from a casino. They put you on every list in the country.
See you, Sarge.
No, I'm not done with Sarge. Hold on a second.
Mother's was awesome. Thank you.
How many times throughout the course of the weekend did you kill the battery on your phone?
Not once, because I had one of those portable chargers this time. I learned it. from the AFC Championship with you, Hardy. Remember that?
Yes,
panicking?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
All right.
Those mother's the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll give you I'll give you a chance to tell one story of something that happened on the weekend, non-wrestling related.
Sure. Jimmy almost had to go to the hospital.
Oh. Whoa!
This is true.
He tripped. Yeah, see, I tell true stories, not fables like Jace do.
Debatable.
He tripped on Bourbon Street, not drunk, by the way, too.
Right.
And this was
a disputed point.
This was just a few moments before we left for WrestleMania.
It couldn't be duck-footedness. I mean, wait, go ahead.
Jay Stu comes back to the hotel, his pale white legs, and he shows us his knee, which is like popping up with a red air balloon. It's like, oh, my God, what happened?
The tumor.
He goes, I tripped on Bourbon Street, and I'm like, were you drunk? And he goes, no, he wasn't even drunk.
Debatable
point. You told me you were drunk.
It's a debatable point.
Okay, Sarge, thanks for calling in. We got to let you go.
What is drunk, really?
We have someone else who can back up a claim about Sarge. This is Randy. Randy, were you there?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I was there.
Okay, what do you have?
What happened, Randy?
I run into James Stewart, got a picture with him. Yep. Thanks for that. Next thing you know, I see Joe Murray, Andy Wong, and then Sarge is climbing over them in the aisleway. Hey, Sarge, Mike Riley. He's climbing over them, trying to shake my hand, get a picture with me. You know, this actually happened. And Jimmy Stewart, remember this? It was before I got kicked out of the event.
Why did you get kicked out?
I don't know. I asked them. I don't know.
Why'd Randy get kicked out, Jason?
That's a good question. Maybe the crowd around you didn't like your chance?
Maybe.
Kicked out? What event was this? Was
WrestleMania on Sunday.
You got kicked out?
Yeah.
You went down?
They escorted you out of WrestleMania?
Yeah,
I watched them go off the aisle with the cops.
Yeah, you know, this is like Malcolm Butler. You know what you did, Randy.
To commit a hate crime.
What did you do to get kicked out?
I know what I was. I was just having fun.
Were you cheering for Roman Reigns? Was that what you did? You cheered for Roman Reigns and you got kicked out.
No, what I did was I cheered against the basement dwellers. And Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles, I thought the match was terrible.
I don't know what the hell any of you guys are talking
AJ
about.
AJ Styles,
shut up.
He didn't like the way it was set up, and he didn't
like
the program.
I'm done.
Thanks, Randy.
I'm done.
So to tell the story, I was at St. and Sinner's on Bourbon Street having lunch with a couple of friends from New York, and I get up to go to the bathroom. I turn the corner. There are three steps there. I missed all three of them. Went face first down.
I would have lost it.
And so much so that the cook who was down the hall yells, "Are you okay?" And I go, "Yeah, I just took a bad effing face first bump. I'm okay, though." So I'm like, God. I'm not bleeding, anything like that. Get back to the table, pay the bill, go on my way, get back to the hotel. And I've got a balloon on my knee. And I thought initially that I had dislocated my kneecap.
Oh, like Kyrie
Irving? My knee was so high up.
That would have been awesome if
it was
so
high up, and I didn't feel anything where my kneecap usually was. Put ice on it. Iced it all the way to WrestleMania. I almost missed WrestleMania because I fell flat on my face. Drunk, not drunk. There are people from New York who could vouch if I was.
How old are you now?
I'm 37.
You're 37.
I'm old AF.
It's like with the Brady Tom versus time thing, this feels like it's Jimmy versus time.
Yeah.
This time next year,
I'm not
priorities
sure
in your life may be different.
Family,
you know what I'm saying?
Family matters might prevent next year. I'm not sure. I got to talk to the ownership.
It's all grown up Jimmy now. Do you think that was your last WrestleMania?
We'll
There's no chance. Don't ask questions
like
you know the answers to.
We'll see.
It's a waste of everybody's
time. Jimmy, thank you.
We'll see.
Jimmy, thank you. Good day.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I know you've got to get back to your emails.
Email chain.
Arcam will get us updated here. We have some Bruins updates from Bruce Cassidy. We'll share those with you next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The Bruins were back at practice today. They were without Riley Nash or Noel Achari, both of those gentlemen absent from practice today. Rick Nash was there, back on the second line with David Krejci and DeBrusque. Ryan Donato, not on any of the lines, but was on the ice as the spare forward. Head coach Bruce Cassidy said Donato could be a healthy scratch in Game 1, but that nothing is set in stone yet. Bruins have their first-round playoff matchup starting on Thursday with the Toronto Maple Leafs, to whom the Bruins dropped 3 of 4 regular season games this year. The Celtics and the Wizards tonight in Washington, D.C., according to coach Brad Stevens. The regulars will be in. Starters will get a, quote, good amount of minutes. Gershon Yabusele will not be getting any minutes tonight or tomorrow. He's going to be out with a knee injury. He is expected to be ready for Game 1 of the playoffs. Tip-off tonight at 8 o'clock from Capital One Arena. Grandy and Max have the pregame for you at 7:30 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. Some good news for the Celtics. Marcus Smart is scheduled to make his return to the lineup on April 27th. That's 2 weeks from Friday. Of course, Celtics are still going to have to be alive for that to happen. Chris Sale makes his 2018 Fenway Park debut tonight as the Red Sox, for the first time this year, welcome the Yankees to town. First pitch is at 7 o'clock. Luis Severino on the hill for New York. Red Sox will be without Xander Bogaerts for the next 10 to 14 days. He has a small crack in a bone in his foot. Good news is no surgery is required. And breaking news out of, well, not breaking anymore, out of the NFL, Buffalo Bills guard Richie Incognito calling it a career. Incognito, who is 34 years old, told the Buffalo News his liver and kidneys are shutting down and that the stress is, quote, killing him. Headlines are brought to you by TestStrips.com. If you have extra unused diabetes test strips, don't let them go to waste. Sell today to help those in need. Restrictions apply. TestStrips with a Z.com. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update's in 30 minutes.
Are they aliens?
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zulak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruce Cassidy talking after the Bruins practice today, where Ryan Donato was not out there. Christian Arcand's been giving us the updates there in terms of the lines. What were the lines again there, Christian?
The lines, first line, normal. Second line, Rick Nash on the right with Jake DeBrusk and David Krejci. Third line, Brian Gionta in the middle. Danton Heinen and on the right, Tommy Wingles. And then, or sorry, that was wrong. That's the that was on, Wingles on the fourth line. Let me pull it back up here again.
This is like when Ted Sarandis read off the entire
Backus
roster.
Backus on the third line, excuse me. That was Backus awesome. On the right. Fourth line, Corrali centering Schaller and Wingles, meaning no Ryan Donato. He was at practice, but as the spare forward.
Okay. Now, Jim, you told me they're what, 5-3-4 in his
Donato,
games
yeah.
with Donato. But what is the general mindset of Bruins fans when you see number 17? Or to see what the upside can be? Like, that's a little stunning he's not in the mix.
Yeah.
Even though that's a real record, 5-3-4. Like, you need this kid, right? This kid doesn't seem the moment's too big for him. Like, it seems like it's now. The time is now. Sorry to go to the John Cena thing, but, like, this kid's got to be in the mix.
All right. Well, let's see what Bruce Cassidy had to say after practice today. Here we go.
It's always difficult reading into the lines a couple days before a game, but looks like Donato might be the spirit there.
He could be out.
How difficult is that, if that's the case for you, just given how great he's been on the power play and the offensive punch he's given it?
Well, I'll tell you, like, without going through every scenario, well, let's say Rick Nash is in. Rick Nash is a power play guy in front, did very well there for us, did very well in New York, did very well in Columbus. So we're not worried about the drop-off there. He's going up with Krejci. We like DeBrus back there. So now Ryan, was on that line on his offside. So there is a very proven, replacement, because I don't think it's a fair word to use here. So that's where Ryan, could lose his spot. Then it becomes, well, we drop him down in the lineup. We like our fourth line, so now it's a question of, is it him, Backus and Heinen? Is it Achari, as Wingles goes in? So that's when the next phase of it comes in. Then the last part is it, how many young guys you think can go into the lineup at once and we sustain our level of play, because it's, the second season. So we factor all those in.
Have you been factoring that in all season long?
I'm going to slap that look off your face.
Have you been factoring it in all season?
There we go. This is...
Hey, wait a minute. Can I say
Bruins
something?
Bruins fans are going to go nuts if he's not in.
He's got the benefit of the doubt right now, but close your eyes and picture Claude Julien saying that.
Mm. People will go freaking nuts.
Brian Gionta, guys. Brian Gionta centering the third line. Guy who hadn't played all year, didn't play, was in the Olympics, and that's it.
The big thing is Nash is back.
Yeah.
And to what he's saying, he's a big presence in the front. Like, Toronto's not a big physical team.
True.
Like, you're going to need it, like, the Nash, the Backus, you know, the McQuaid type, you're going to need that down the road with the physical tees, but to think you're not going to see Randon Otto on Thursday night?
I'm
kind of floored by it.
I'm very concerned that they're going to change their philosophy.
Mojo.
Now.
Mojo.
What?
What happened in a week? Just
are we talking about a change? Are we talking about a change of fundamental philosophy and putting together the lines and all this stuff now, or is this more the same? You know, you got to go. Obviously, this is just dropping on us here in the last few minutes of the show,
right,
without going back and looking at all the different line combinations due to. Some of it due to choice, some of it due to injuries,
right,
some of it due to suspension when Marchand is out. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, Backus is out, fine. You gotta rework things. But there's been a lot of different line combinations, a lot of guys playing on a lot of different spots. Okay, fine, good. Are you changing the philosophy going into the postseason? Because, as Cassidy just said, how many young guys can you have out there? It's just the second year. Was that a consideration from November up until a week and a half ago when you guys were picking up points in all but 10 or 12 of your games? I mean, in terms of the number of regulation losses were so low. Was that a big concern night in and night out, or were you just rolling with what you had because what you were doing worked pretty well?
What we love about this coach
is... And the last part is that how many young guys you think can go into the lineup at once and, you know, and we sustain our level of play because it's, you know, the second season. So we factor all those in.
Was he studying for finals? Now all of a sudden he's gassed?
Are we looking at a coach right now?
Look at his hat. Look what I got on. What is this? I got a hockey hat on. I'm ready.
Here's what I don't want. I don't want Bruce Cassidy to overthink this.
He's got a great feel for the mojo, for what I need to do, shake up this line, this and that. The kid. Go back and look at our text chain the second this kid started playing. Our group text chain within the show. And the excitement of anybody's text regarding his kid when he would light the lamp.
But he's had such a good feel for it. Don't you trust him? Isn't it part of you that says, okay, maybe he's making
it's
the right move?
Like, it's almost like he falls back like, well, we can only put so many young kids in, and at some point it's going to be overwhelming for him. That's what I take from that.
There's also only so many bodies you can play. There's only so many forwards you can have. And by the way, this is all happening because Rick Nash is back. Riley Nash may be coming back at some point, too. They're going to have to make another decision like this. This is the problem, and it's a small one, but it's the problem with having guys get healthy at the end of the year. That means someone's going to have to fall by the wayside. That's what happened.
You read off all the combinations of the lines. And he just said, but we love our fourth line. What if that came out of Claude's mouth?
It'd be a lot tougher to stomach.
He dismissed it, completely dismissed it by saying, we love our fourth line, so that's even out of the question.
We like our fourth line. Now it's a question of, is it him, Backus and Heinen? Is it?
You want Donato on the checking line?
I want them to approach the postseason with the same philosophy that they approach the regular season.
Go back to school.
That's all I want.
Go back to school.
That's all I want.
Tom just said it. He said it a while ago. This is Sagan 2011 all over again.
Yeah.
Odd man out. Start the playoffs.
Yeah.
You dance with who brung you. And this team was good enough to exceed expectations all regular season long. Well, changing stuff up now just because you think that somehow their lack of experience is going to be detrimental in the playoffs. Playoff experience is a good thing.
Well, then the concern post Sunday's loss to what he said, we let one go. And if we do what we've been doing, we're in trouble. Is there more concern internally to what he thinks this team is or isn't?
I want
to what they're attempting to roll out here on Thursday night.
I want to grab two quick calls here.
Sure, we're
up against it.
Sorry.
Real quick, Jim, can we do this?
Yeah, go.
Okay, Cam in Plymouth, go ahead. You've been
Cam.
A long time. I appreciate your patience. Go ahead.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call, guys. So I was originally going to call and ask about Tukaras, but since you guys have been talking about Donato, my take on that is I would much rather take a guy like Rick Nash over Donato just for the power forward reference. I mean, especially around here in Boston, because Rick Nash is such a big body presence up front that I'd much rather take, you know, the guy with experience and the guy that can be a power forward over Donato any day, just because of recently with Donato's play, he's getting muscled off that puck left and right. you know, it's just, you know, I'm not knocking the kid's talent. The kid's great, and, you know, I think he's got a bright future. But with Nash getting healthy in the playoffs coming up, I do think you make that call. And real quick about Tuukka Rask,
yeah.
My concern is, because I've been watching him for a long time, a lot of these goals that he lets go by coming from outside in those defensive slots, maybe there's a problem, I could say, with his depth perception.
Cam, you know, I was just going to say the same thing. We talk about, and thanks for holding, we talk about, oh, you had a problem seeing that one. Is he having problems seeing? Because let me tell you something. A couple of those goals last week from way out on the point, he wasn't being screened. It's like, I don't know if he saw the damn thing.
Maybe he needs readers. He is getting older. Like, is he holding that menu like at this dark steakhouse?
I'm all in on this Bruins team. The Celtics have forced us to be all in on the Bruins postseason. This is what we've got right now. He started messing too much with the line combinations, and I start to wonder how Tuukka is seeing the puck. We already know that Tuukka's not the battler. He's not the guy that's going to go in and fight for you. I loved what he did in the Lightning game, but that was, I'm feeling that's the exception more than it is the rule. And quite frankly, he's never been the guy who's going to go in there and steal you a game in the postseason. So you need to be strong up front for Tuukka. If he's having a problem seeing the puck, holy crap. Are we just now going to come to that realization? If you're a Bruins fan, you better hope that's not the case. All right, today's takeaways coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaways, it's Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatles. Zo, today's takeaways?
Hey, brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. Check them out at awaken180weightloss.com.
It's been a good day with Christian Arcand in here taking care of headlines. Beatles had
guys.
To take the day off.
Got to know him a little bit. Hear him on the weekends and heard him over at the other nutty place. And it's good to have him aboard. But he almost scared the living hell out of Dan Shaughnessy today.
He did.
That's true.
There's a bad
well,
moment.
Dan's kind of, you know, doing his thing, getting old, but here's a little thing, a little snippet from today.
Expectations are a bad thing for those guys.
Dan, the hi.
the, no, it's like Jack Ruby coming in here. Right on here, you know. That's good.
How many people today? I mean, if you're good at history, you know who Jack Ruby is.
Yeah.
Dan's old-time references.
Sidling up to Dan. You got to be,
like,
you gotta
whoa,
be careful.
Almost got me like Tupac, you know?
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Yeah, you can't take a shock to the ticker like that.
Jesus.
You got to let him know you're going to say something. You know, just reach over and, you know, just lightly touch his elbow.
A little tap on the...
Yeah, just let him know you're going to chime in, and that way you don't scare him off.
You got a couple references on Twitter today, or acknowledgments, right?
Calling I did.
You,
I got a
what
few.
They say about you?
Someone called me Bizarro Sarge today. I like that. That was pretty interesting.
It was good of Sarge to call in as we were discussing the WrestleMania trip with Jay Stu and Sarge and the Wong father. Joe Murray was down there.
Son
did I leave
Bundy.
Anybody out? That was the crew, right?
No, that's it.
That was the Kowloon crew. And there was confirmation from one caller that Sarge did come over the top rope to use the wrestling lingo to get in on a photograph. When
and
somebody had stopped Jay Stu and say, hey, can I get a picture? Here comes Sarge flying out. I've long said it, the most dangerous place on this planet is between Sarge and a camera. Do not get in between Sarge and a photograph being taken of him because he will knock you out of the way.
I would have paid a lot of money at one of those local auctions to be there when Jay Stu fell down three sets of stairs and almost dislocated his kneecap.
No, not
three stairs. Probably with cargo shorts, those funky walker shoes he has in the low-cut socks, right?
Yeah.
What wrestling shirt did you have on? 316?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Boston 316
and
jeans.
Boston 316
and
jeans.
To start the show today, boy, we thought we had something with Robert Kraft talking about Tom Brady and saying how I hope he plays. I hope he plays from a Jeff Howe article in The Athletic. So we got Jeff on, and I asked him, I said, what was that in reference to? the answer that Kraft gives, I hope he plays. What was the setup to that statement? What was the question or conversation leading up to that statement, I hope he plays?
The question was basically a setup by saying around this time last year was when you said that you just had a conversation with Tom Brady and he reiterated that he wanted to play until he's about 45 or 46 or whatever that mid-40s age range was at the time. And with all that in mind, do you still feel that same confidence level that Brady wants to play until he's about 45? And that's when he said, I hope he plays, and then the rest of the quote.
It's good having him on for that 30 seconds clarification.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
right,
a 30-second
buzzkill.
Yeah, we don't need anything else then.
No, but it's
so much for our fun.
You read that comment in context and just sitting there in print, it's almost like Robert's doubling down on what Gotham Chopra said.
He's doubling down on it, and not only that, but it also says to me, I don't think the owner has had a lot of conversation with Tom Brady over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
If he is referencing Tom's state of mind by going back to the Facebook video, he's saying, I think Tom feels this way because I saw it on Facebook. I can do that. Yeah. That's what you and I do. You haven't talked to him about it any more than what you saw on Tom versus Time? That's it?
Feels to me like you got 1 year left with the tight end and two stretching it with the QB.
That's pretty much it. Hey, Christian, do you have a takeaway?
Was I supposed to have one?
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
You don't have to, bro.
No, that's all right. We're out of time anyway.
Okay.
All right. So that'll be it. Thank you, Christian, for filling in today. As Beetle couldn't be here today, take care of some family stuff. So
the lines for Thursday night starting to come together. And the Donato stuff and a lot of stuff. I'm sure Felger and Maz will continue that.
My takeaway is I can't believe Brian Gionta is going to be centering a line in the playoffs. That's amazing
experience,
to me.
Bro.
Yeah.
The guys are getting healthy. Guys are coming back. I get it. You know, you're gonna make room for
Nash is a big one.
Rick Nash. Absolutely. I understand that. I just don't want them to change the philosophy.
Maybe there's some tests going on at Harvard.
Got them
the
all.
Kids
got
to go to school.
Those points.
But they had that tasty yuppie thing, pudding thing they got coming up.
All those wins. Oh, the hasty pudding?
The yuppie pudding.
Yeah, maybe he's involved with that. All right.